Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Turn with me right now in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to continue our series, Clean Canvas, a study in the book of Ephesians. And if you've missed any of the messages throughout this series, I absolutely recommend that you go to our app, go to the messages, and take a look at those that you maybe missed because you were on vacation or out and about, and catch up on those. They've been absolutely phenomenal. We're gonna just dive into the last two verses at the end of chapter 3. So go ahead and go there to Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. And then we're going to head over to Mark 9. And then I'm going to give you lots of other scriptures throughout our time together. So make sure you've got your notes open on your app or you've got a notebook out and you can take some notes. But right here in verse 20, it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church." Glory to him in the church. Amen? Come on, that's our goal. That's every time we get together. Come on, our goal, our purpose is to give glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I can't think of a better place to put in amen. Amen means let it be so. Amen. So not just in God being glorified in the church and in Christ Jesus in our generation, but come on, in your children's generation, in their children's generation, and in the generations after that forever and ever. Amen. Mark chapter 9. And we're gonna read verses 21 to 24. Now, in this portion of scripture, what's happened is there's a father who has a son, and his son has been tormented since he was a little child by an evil spirit. And this father, you can imagine, has tried to do everything he can to help his child, and he's come up short each time. And so he hears about Jesus, and so he brings his son to Jesus, only to find that Jesus wasn't there, but the disciples were there. And so he comes to the disciples and says, help my child, help my son. And they try and they can't do anything. Well, then at this point, Jesus comes onto the scene. And this is where we're going to pick it up in verse 21 of chapter 9. It says, "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean? If I can," Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." And as we read on in this story, the son indeed was delivered and healed and set free, and that God is good. Amen. Let's pray. I know we've prayed several times already this morning, but I want to pray one more time as we go into the Word. God, I pray you'd help me this morning. God, help us this morning to have open hearts and open minds. God, that we might receive all that you have in store for us. God, enable me this morning to communicate all that you've laid on my heart for us today, that I might create a space where people can encounter you, know your love, and leave this place discovering the great plans and purposes you have for their lives. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. I have a question for you today. How many of you have ever had a measuring problem? A measuring problem, okay? And well, just bear with me. Some of you already raised your hands. Others might raise your hands in a minute after I begin to explain this. Well, my husband and I, over the last few weeks, we have a basketball hoop that's up, which we put a lot of sweat and blood and tears, and there's probably blood in there actually, to get that up, right? We had it up, but we didn't want to just bounce the ball around on some dirt. We needed to have some concrete so that my husband and my daughter and myself and my other daughter can play basketball together, right? So we figure we're going to put the work in to try to get this area prepared, to put some concrete down in there and try to get it ready. And so we're out there, and we've got to do some geometry and some math to get this thing right, okay? And so we're aware of this, and so we pull out our measuring tape because we've got to measure some distances to make sure that we're getting this totally prepared. So we get the measuring tape out, only to realize that the measuring tape is only 25 feet long. Okay, All right, so now you're with me. You see where we're going with the problem. It's only 25 feet long, but we needed to measure further than 25 feet. We needed to get some angles and figure out how long the distance was there and so forth. And so we realized it's too short, but we didn't want to stop and have to, you know, go to the store and all that. So we figured, I'm looking around, I'm going, well, what do we have that could be long enough? And I look over and I see a hose. And I'm like, well, the hose is long enough. And my husband's just looking at me like, really? And I was like, well, let's just try it. And so we grab the hose, and sure enough, we know where our start point is. We know where our end point needs to be. And so we stretch the hose out, and sure enough, the hose is long enough, right? And so we mark on the hose where it's at. And then we realize, but we need to duplicate that measurement on the other end. And so we go to do that, and we get it. You know, we mark the spot so it's the same length, only to realize that if we don't make sure that this thing is square, we're going to end up with a pad that's like this, you know? So we needed to get it square. We needed to do some, in other words, we needed to have accurate measurements so that we could do some math, so we could make sure that this thing was going to be square and it wasn't going to be all wonky and looking weird. And so we quickly realized we got to put down the hose, and we need to go to the store, and we need to get 100-foot-long measuring tape so we can measure this thing right, get it laid out, and so all of our construction friends can be proud of us when they come to our house, okay? That was our goal. No, just kidding. But we had a measuring problem. We had a measuring problem. And here in this passage with the Father, I believe that he had a measuring problem. I believe that he was facing a problem, a circumstance in his son's life, a situation that had been happening since the son was just a little boy. And over the years, this father had been trying to the best of his ability to help his son, probably taking him to other people along the way to try to see what they can do to help him, to get him free of this thing, only to come up short, only to realize that he didn't have the ability to help him. He was unable to do so. So now he's standing in front of Jesus. And as he's standing in front of Jesus, he's sharing with Jesus the problem. And as he's sharing with Jesus the problem, he says, if you can help. That right there is an indicator that he had a measuring problem. He was measuring the problem that he was facing by his inabilities rather than by Christ's ability. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there where you've been facing something? Maybe it's in your family, your finances. We can name all the things that we could be facing. And you're looking at it, and rather than measuring the problem by God's abilities, you're measuring them by your inability. And you look at it and go, I'm not able. I'm falling up short. My bank account is in the negative. I can't do it. And therefore, we kind of give up. We kind of give in. We kind of, you know, look at our circumstance and begin to get a little bit fearful. And there's some things that happen. Well, that's an indicator that we are viewing the circumstances that are taking place in our lives from an earthly perspective. When we're viewing things from an earthly, in a human, in a fleshly perspective, we're gonna see the obstacles, and we're gonna look at them and be like, it's too big. I can't see over it. This one I can, praise the Lord, that's nice. But, you know, to try to get over it, that would be a little awkward for me to try to climb. I can see over it. You'd all probably enjoy watching me try to climb over this. I'm not gonna do that. But we come up against something, COVID. We come up against some injustices. We come up against some problems that we're facing, and it's right there in front of us, and it feels so big, and it feels overwhelming. We can't see beyond it. It's an indicator that we are seeing from an earthly perspective. And when we're viewing our circumstances from an earthly perspective and measuring those problems by our inability to work it out, our inability to see beyond it, our inability to get around it, then there are some things that are going to happen. And you may have felt some of these things that I'm going to mention in the last 6 months. I know I have. I had to do a measuring check on myself over the last 6 months. But if we're viewing things from an earthly perspective, what is going to happen is we're going to be filled with doubt. We're going to look at those challenges in our lives, and we're going to doubt that we're ever going to be able to get beyond it. We're going to doubt that even God could work this out because, I mean, if he can, I can't, so I don't know if he can, because I'm viewing it from an earthly perspective. So doubt begins to fill our hearts, begins to fill our minds, and as doubt begins to fill our minds, then we go to a place of worry. where then we lay our head down on the pillow at night, and rather than being able to go to sleep, and the Bible says he gives his beloved rest, instead we're feeling turmoil and our mind is just racing, and we lay there until 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and we just can't go to sleep. Why? Because we're worrying. We're worrying about these circumstances and how it's gonna affect our tomorrow. We can't see tomorrow, and what's it gonna look like, and how am I gonna make it to tomorrow, and what is next year gonna look like if our finances are being destroyed in this 6 months of COVID and the shutdown, and we start experiencing that worry. And if we continue with that worry and we don't begin to get a heavenly perspective, then what ultimately ends up happening is we just give up. We throw in the towel. I've tried, my marriage isn't working out, and we just walk away. And we give up, and we surrender and just say, it's, you know, white flag, I'm out. And we give in. And then ultimately ends up leading to our problems, our circumstances, our challenges, then defining who we are. Because I failed. I failed at my marriage, or I failed at my finances, therefore I must be a failure. That must be who I am. And we now allow these things to define who we are, than allowing God's word to define who we are. That is viewing circumstances in life from an earthly perspective. But we were never meant to view our lives and view our circumstances from an earthly perspective. We got to remember, Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians, but not just everybody. He's writing it to the believers, to the Christ followers. And he says, hey, God is able. Pastor Ben, can you come up here? I know. God is able, through his power at work within me, to do infinitely more, infinitely more than I might ask or think. Come on, that is our God. And so as we begin to get a heavenly perspective, as we begin to allow our problems to be measured by God's ability rather than our inabilities, then suddenly we rise up here and we're seeing from a heavenly perspective. And now when I'm up here looking from a heavenly perspective, you know what happens? Is I can see over the obstacles. I can see beyond the problems. I can see beyond the debt. I can see beyond the failed marriage. I can see beyond all of these things. And I can see actually from God's perspective, it is not big, it is not overwhelming, it is minor, it is small in light of eternity. God wants us to view life and view our circumstances from his perspective, from a heavenly perspective that says God is able. God is able by the power at work within us to do infinitely more than we might ask or we might think. That is the God that we serve. I need you to stay up here a little bit. Okay. Thank you. He's able. Now, when we are viewing life and we're viewing our circumstances from that perspective, from a heavenly perspective rather than the earthly perspective, rather than doubt, guess what we have? We have faith. We have faith. We have faith that says that Romans 8:28, God is able to work all things. These things, the successes I'm experiencing, the mountaintop moments, the valleys that I'm in, the dry desert times, he's able to work all things together for my good. So I have faith because I'm up there. I'm seeing it from God's perspective. And then not only do I have faith, but I have hope. When I lay my head down on the pillow, I can sleep sweet because I'm not worrying about tomorrow, because I have hope, because Jeremiah 29:11 says God knows the plans that he has for me to give me a future. He's got great plans. They're good plans. They're to give me a future and give me a hope. Come on. God's got good things in store. I can face life and I can face the circumstances. I can face challenges that I come up against in life with endurance. Rather than giving up and throwing in the towel and saying, I quit, it's too hard, I can endure because I'm viewing life from up there. And I know that, come on, James 1 says that trials are gonna come, but man, rejoice in that. Why? Because in the testing of my faith, there's endurance that's produced. And when endurance gets stronger and bigger and greater in my life, then I'm gonna be perfect. I'm gonna be complete. And so I can face life. I can face the things that I come up against with endurance rather than throwing in the towel, right? And ultimately, what I love is we then can face all of these things. We can wake up in the morning with confidence. Confidence knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Confidence knowing it's not the things in life that define who I am, the failures, the successes, the great moments of life, the hard moments of life. It's not those things that define who I am, but He's the one that defines who I am. His word defines who I am. His word says, Ephesians 2:10, we read it a few weeks ago, that we're His masterpiece created anew in Christ Jesus. Why? To do the good works He planned for us long ago. And so I can walk through life with confidence, with my head held up high, knowing Ephesians 4:13 says, we are in Christ, knowing that I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So I can wake up in the morning confident. It looks hard. It looks big to me, but I'm not viewing it from down there. I'm going to view it from up here. And my God is able. My God is able. And I am able. By the power at work within me, in Christ Jesus, I am able to make it through this obstacle, to get through this circumstance, because my God is with me. Amen? Now, here's the reality is I know some of you have already checked out. Some of you that are online or maybe you're watching the service later, maybe some in this room, you've already checked out. The minute I started talking about God being able and He can do everything and He can heal my body, He can heal my marriage, you've already checked out. And why? Why have you checked out? Maybe you have checked out because there was something that happened in your life and you prayed and you believed and you had faith, and yet the circumstance didn't happen the way that you thought that they would, the way that you were praying that they would. You know, there's a passage in Scripture about some men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what I love about this story, see, these men were commanded to worship a golden image. They were commanded to stop worshiping God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They were commanded to stop worshiping Him and instead worship a golden image. But they said, we're not going to do that. And so because they weren't going to do that, they were taken captive and they were being threatened to be thrown into a fiery furnace if they didn't obey. That if they were going to get thrown into that furnace, if they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And they said, you know what? This is their statement. It says, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able. He's able to save us. Listen to that statement. He's able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But This is the heavenly perspective here. This is what I want those of you that have believed for something and you were disappointed because it didn't work out how you thought it was going to work out. Maybe a loved one you were praying for to beat cancer and it didn't happen and they were healed on the other side of the threshold of heaven instead of here on earth with you. Maybe you were disappointed by a situation because you were praying and holding on for your marriage to be restored and it didn't get restored. And so therefore, you have some doubt, you have some worries, you have some fears, this idea that God is able to do everything. You're not holding on to that because it didn't work out that way. Listen to what they said. They said, but even if he doesn't deliver us, we will make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. We will worship the one true God and Him alone. I love their statement. They said, God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But even if He doesn't, we still worship Him. Because there's no one like Him. That your gods don't compare to our God. And they said, but even if. And here's why I believe they could make that statement. I believe it's because they were seeing from a heavenly perspective. Because the reality in our lives is when we're down here and we've got an earthly perspective, this is just reality. We're viewing life kind of like a parade. And you know, when you're sitting on the street, how many of you have been to a parade? Anyone? Yeah, I've been to a parade. I grew up in a small town, so anytime we could have a reason to have a parade, we'd do those. And I always went because of the candy that got thrown at me. It was awesome. Or I was performing in it, and we'll save that for another time. That was funny. But we view life as a parade, right? And with a parade, things are going by, but the only thing you can see in the parade is what's right in front of you, right? Think of the Thanksgiving parade every year, right? All you can see is what's just right there in front of you. But God is up in the big blimp, all right? He's up here, and he can see the beginning of the parade all the way to the end of the parade. He can see the beginning of your life all the way to the end of your life. He can see everything in between, all this stuff in the middle, and he knows that he knows what he has in store for you tomorrow. And he knows that, man, this didn't work out as you were intending it would work out, but don't worry, son. Don't worry, daughter. I've got a plan. I see the end. I see it from the beginning. I know what the plans that I have for you, and they're good. Just hold on. And so these three men were able to say that statement because they knew, hey, God is in control. He knows it all. We don't. We believe he's able, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to worship him. We're still going to glorify him. We're still going to magnify him. Amen? Amen. He is able. He is able. He is able by the power that's at work within us, the scripture says. Thank you, Pastor Ben. You can, thank you. By the power that's at work within us. Through us, but does God's power work through us as believers? Yes, it does. But that's not what it says. It says by the power that's at work within us. Within us. There's a power at work within us. And Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That is the power at work within you as a Christ follower. The moment we surrender to Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit that takes up residence in our lives within us. And it's by that power within us, the Holy Spirit within us, that he is at work. Amen. That word is dunamis. The word power is dunamis. That word power, dunamis, is also found in Acts 1:8. And band, you can go ahead and come up as we prepare to close service this morning. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. There is a power in that moment on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came and filled the believers at that moment. A power came upon them. There is a power at work within us, and God is able. What this tells us is we get to partner with God in the miracles that he does in our lives and through our lives. He wants to partner with us. He wants to listen to the scripture. It says he's able by the power at work within us to do exceedingly abundantly above that we might ask. The key is, are we asking? The key is, are we seeking? The key is, are we worshiping? Are we daily going up and choosing to have the heavenly perspective rather than the earthly perspective? We can get it every day. Every day that we wake up, we're challenged with, are we going to view life from here or are we going to view life from up here? And every day we can do it. Every day as you wake up in the morning, you open your Bible or you open your app and you read the verse for the day and allow it to get in your heart and meditate on it throughout the day. What will that do? It'll get you up here. It'll get you up here so that you can begin to ask him to move in your life, so you can begin to ask him to move in your marriage, so you can begin to ask him to move in our culture and deal with the injustices that are being faced by many. We can begin to ask him to move and have his way and do what only he can do. But we've got to ask. When we worship, man, what do? When we worship, we come up here. We're not seeing stuff from down here anymore. We lift up our eyes into the heavens. We recognize that's where our help comes from. He's big. He's got this. This obstacle, this thing I'm facing, this COVID that's gone on far too long, come on. He's able to carry us through. He's able to provide for us through it. God is able. We can have a heavenly perspective every day, every day. Man, if those things are, you're doing those things and you're still struggling to have a heavenly perspective, get in community. That's the beauty of the church. The saints gathering together. It's the beauty of small groups they're going to be launching in just a couple weeks. Why? Because you can partner with another Christ follower believer that in moments when we're weak, I had plenty of weak moments in the last 6 months. Moments where I just walked in my room, I just cried. I wasn't praying. I was like this. And I feel like I'm banging my head up against an obstacle. And I had a little pity party. Anybody else have a pity party in the last 6 months? Thank you. I'm not alone. Woo! All right, I did. Okay? But the beauty of being in community with other Christ followers that are daily challenging themselves to see things from God's perspective rather than from an earthly perspective is they come alongside of you and they say, hey, Katie, I know it doesn't look that good right now, but it's time to rejoice.
Yeah.
It's time to throw a party because God's able. God's for you. He's for you. So where are you at today? Are you here? Or are you viewing things from up here? Because God loves you. God has a great plan for your life. And He wants to lift you up. He wants to work in you and through you to do mighty things. Things that your mind cannot even comprehend. He wants to partner with you. He wants to give you wisdom that you need for your job. He wants to give you insight that you need as you homeschool those kiddos and do distance learning. Jesus, hallelujah, amen. He's for you. Let's stand to our feet. As you stand to your feet, could you just do this for me this morning? As you're there at your home, could you just take a moment and close your eyes with me today? And just allow the Holy Spirit to just pinpoint some areas of your life today. See, gaining a heavenly perspective all starts with, first and foremost, a relationship with Jesus. That's where it all begins. Without that, we will forever have an earthly perspective to life. But you're here today and you would say, you know, I'm far from Jesus. I've been checking out the faith thing for a long time. And I realized today that I need Him in my life. And I want to surrender to Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and you've been far from God. And you need to come back. You need to come back. If that's you, I just invite you to, right now, just begin to say a prayer. And you can just say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I surrender all to you. Forgive me my sins. That simple. And if that's you this morning and you need to say that prayer, can you just shoot your hand up in the air so I know who I'm praying for today? That's you. Anybody here today? Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. All right, we're going to pray. We're going to pray in a moment. You're here today and man, you're a Christ follower. You love Jesus with all your heart. And there have just been some things that, man, have just gotten you stuck. And you've been up against the obstacles and you've been overwhelmed. You've been filled with, have moments where you're filled with doubt or worry. You've had moments where you just were just so close. And maybe you're here today and you were about ready to throw in the towel and give up. And God stopped you in your tracks this morning and said, no. You're gonna be filled with endurance. Because I'm bringing you up to my perspective, son. I'm bringing you up to my perspective, daughter. And that's you today. And you've been viewing things inaccurately. You've been viewing the things that you've been facing by your inability rather than by His ability. Can you just shoot your hand up in the air so I know who I'm praying for this morning? Thank you. Yeah. All right. Go ahead and put your hand down. God, we love you. God, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us. You've got great plans and a great purpose for each of us in this room and each of us online. God, we love you. We thank you for your word that encourages us, that challenges us, that reminds us that, God, you are able, that nothing is impossible for you. And God, we surrender to you. God, we ask for your forgiveness today for those moments, God, where we've been seeing, viewing relationships from an earthly perspective, viewing our finances from an earthly perspective, getting in a experiencing doubt and worry and all of those things. God, forgive us for that. And Lord, help us today to rise above and begin to see life from the perspective that you are able and that you have got this. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for that reminder today. Lord, we love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.